Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight number 645 for comics originally released on December 18th, 2019. Now, starting us off in DC is the long-awaited Doomsday Clock number 12.
Long-awaited is no joke.
Yeah, this is one that I normally when I read something, I jot a few notes. Occasionally, I'll jot a few notes of what I'm thinking going into the book, and I did that for this one.
Okay.
And I've been enjoying the individual issues of this series, but the series itself has really had no story momentum for me given the slow release pace.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is for me. Like, there's some things I can remember, like, that happened in here. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But overall, it's like, oh, that was good. That was good. It's like a good little snippet. But I have no idea. It's like reading a chapter that's in the middle of a book or at the end of a book and forgetting what I had read a year ago.
Yeah, there are some key moments that are memorable, but overall, the plot, not so much.
Yeah, so it makes it really hard to grade because I think people who read this in trade will probably enjoy it a lot more than how I'm enjoying it right now.
I would agree with that. And for me, the previous issue really lost some serious ground when one of the things that had been kind of teased throughout just seemed to literally evaporate in front of us.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised with that.
Annoyed is the word I'm going to go with.
Yeah, annoying would be a key thing. And then this one took another turn for me because it seems like they tried to readjust and stick a landing that wasn't meant to be the landing.
Yeah, and I went into this didn't thinking it was going to land the ending, at least not the original ending, because the universe shifted out from under it.
Yeah, exactly. This was supposed to be, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, the introduction of the Watchmen into the DCU proper, so bring the characters together. And stuff has happened since then that now it's kind of adjusted a bit.
Yeah, I think the original goal was to have it kind of come out on the monthly basis and might have even set up Bendis's Superman and a few things like that, maybe?
It really tied into Superman, the importance of it. So I agree. Like, it almost could have tied into that as well, like how important he was and given Bendis a little more momentum.
As it was, given that the universe had shifted out from under this series, given the Legion was introduced over in the Superman titles and now has had two issues of their own book out, Justice Society was reintroduced over in Justice League, it really felt for me that the reintroduction of those two teams here was almost more like hand-waving than story progression.
Yeah, all the wind is out of the sails, so this probably would have been a big momentous thing if this had come out on time and then those characters, it would have had that building up of momentum. People are like, oh my gosh, they're coming. And then, you know, a month or two later, here's the book, or 5 months later, here's the book. But instead we have the books and then you have the here they are, but we already knew that.
Well, I think if it had come out as originally planned, we would not have gotten this issue. Because what we would have gotten would have been a different Legion.
I agree with that. Yeah.
You know, so when we get this one, and there's going to be a bit more spoilers than usual on this, but I think it's kind of necessary with this comic and stuff. When we get the splash of the group rushing forward or whatever, it was very much, this could not have been what was originally envisioned.
I would agree with you there.
I think it's a riff on what was originally envisioned. But at about that point, this whole thing almost, I don't say unraveled on me, but stopped making a lot of sense.
Yeah, I would agree with you with everything you're saying. Yeah, it all comes down to timing, and it's really kind of sad because typically with late shipping, you know, not to, you know, bully anyone, but it tends to be the artist usually, because the artist, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into this. And if they get a little bit behind or they get sick, you know, stuff kind of happens. It's easier to write a book than to draw a book. And so I was just surprised that this has come down to writing more so, because we've seen it in the writer's books, you know, Geoff Johns with this and with Shazam, that, you know, I after seeing this, I think he needs to be on one title. I don't think multiple titles is something that he can really keep pace with, that he can do effectively.
I don't think it's a matter of the multiple titles. I think he just had other stuff maybe going on.
Maybe in the movie realm or TV realm, you think?
Don't know, don't care. These both suffered here in Shazam. And this, I suspect there had to be many pages redrawn depending when stuff was originally done and when this got published.
Which is kind of sad, because the art in here is beautiful. But, you know, if you have to scrap that stuff and go back, I imagine that's frustrating for the artist.
Yeah, and for me, it was just kind of weird that, like, in this issue, Superman knew this legion of superheroes, yet I don't recall him knowing them when we read the Legion stuff over in his own book a few months ago.
Yeah, very true.
Maybe the story takes place first?
Who
but
knows?
If it does, there's other stuff later in the issue that is kind of getting reintroduced that it's like, well, how the hell did we not know that?
Yeah, it's very bizarre. I wish we could have read a timely book to see how this was really meant to be impactful on the whole DCU, because right now, as I'm reading it piecemeal and not remembering what happened before, it's hard to remember back to what happened and what should have happened corresponding with this. It's just really a shame.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think my reading of this issue, and I did not go back and reread the other ones before this intentionally, I think it suffers due to, again, the prolonged time period, not recalling where things had left off and what had been established here. But the other way I think this issue suffered was, to me, it's a growing indictment of the current leadership creatively at DC of they don't know what they want.
I would agree with you there.
There's a matter of throwing the baby out with the bathwater and then, you know, trying to pull the baby back out or something.
And you know, it's interesting that you bring that up. You know, I always joke around on my doomsday clock. That was a reference to the shipping schedule. But but also, there was a lot of dropping of hints in here to the stuff that we're expecting to come out coming forward, which makes me question, you know, I didn't
take it that way.
You didn't take it with the whole 5G stuff and all the stuff that was coming out there, that it's like a timeline of here's the events that they're going to be?
We get the 2-page splash, we get another page, and then we start getting, you know, April 18th, 1938, Superman first shows up, and
yes.
Then decades later, we get the multiverse. Okay. We get Earth 2.
There we go.
That is reflecting what had happened due to the publishing stuff.
Okay.
But at this point, the story kind of shifted for me from Dr. Manhattan being the villain to the powers that be at DC being the villain.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
Because, there's the crisis and then, you know, other things shift. And there's this reference to Earth 1985. And I'm like, you know what? I want some books written there. That's what I want.
Very true. I was looking at that. I was trying to figure this all out. I was like, is this an elaborate puzzle? I was like writing down the dates. What's going on here? But I didn't know if I was supposed to read it like this is the timeline and this is what happened, because they say 2026, 5G is born. And I'm like,
I think everything at the point of the year 2020, you know, Superman's timeline is bombarded, you know, whatever. From there forward is alternate future type stuff. I do not see this as the game plan.
So it could be happening. Okay, yeah. And I was thinking, I was like, well, that's extreme planning, you know, because that's like 40 years to the date of when the Watchmen comic came out, that some big thing would happen, which would make sense. But they can shift this stuff around. The dates just back, Dr. Manhattan switched it, you know?
Well, the point is, some of this stuff they cannot say will happen.
Yes.
Now, in July 2025, sure, they may do a crisis. They may have the Time Masters. That may all come to pass by happenstance or somebody saying, you know what, that's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah.
But when we then get to the July 2030 and this secret crisis.
Yeah, the secret crisis.
There is no way that, one, they could have coordinated a decade in advance with Marvel, hey, we're going to do a team up, a joint publishing thing, and have our two universes collide again. And have that really hold water 10 years from now.
That's where it got really kind of like, how much of this is real, how much is not real. So they kind of had a mishmash of plans with just fantasy mixing up in there.
Well, yeah. And you look at the top of that splash of the 2020 and stuff, where we've got multiple flashes. We've got some of the Titans back, and these are the ones they seem pretty dead set on killing off.
Yeah.
To me, I think this is all, oh, it could be this, it could be that, and to get people excited about the possibilities and not what they're actually going to do. But it also set forward on that next page of they're going to potentially, you know, shift Superman's origin and update it every, you know, 20 years, every 5 years, or, you know, periodically. They're just going to, hey, we set the expectation of we're going to reset stuff a lot.
Yeah, that's really weird. And that also in how this book ended, that was really weird, I thought, as well.
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of that. And I hope this is one where normally it's like, well, I wonder where we'd read the next of this. And I'm glad that there isn't any indication of, hey, read this next, because I'm not sure I'm interested.
Yeah, I was hoping, I'm hoping this is not the 5G thing that's coming to us, because that's not really something I'm excited about.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have the real Earth 2 back and stuff, and I put quotes around all of that, because one, I'm not sure it's back. I don't know if this is going to have any ramification on anything outside of the series that just concluded. And two, all of the stuff that happens here throws into question the entire timeline of the New 52 and Rebirth.
I agree. So it almost likes it, did it happen, did it not happen, and it seems like they can't make up their mind.
Well, if you go back to that page where we get the Earth 2 is born panel.
Yes.
And you go to that last panel of Earth 52 is out there.
Yeah.
That's the Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman we'd been following recently.
Exactly. So what's going on? I don't know if they know what's going on.
I don't know. And it's getting to the point where, you know, a lot of what they're trying to do here, yeah, is interesting, is cool, but, I mean, are these characters dead? Are they alive? Is it this way? Is it that way? Which you know, Power Girl do we have? Which Huntress do we have? Make up your mind and stick with something for some length of time. Ideally, something good.
But right now, I came out of it feeling a little bit confused.
Yeah, same here. And there were some stuff early on where, man, an establishing shot wouldn't have hurt. Maybe identifying a couple of characters. It was, to me, a bit of shock and awe and not as solid storytelling as I would have liked. And if Geoff Johns was still the chief creative officer at DC, this would have held a lot more weight for me.
Yeah, I agree.
As it is, I have no idea if and when we'll ever see any ramifications of this in the mainstream DC titles.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where I am. I'm like torn, because there's like references to stuff that we know is going to happen, but then there's a lot of stuff that is just, you know, fun red meat that they threw out there to get us excited, which probably will never happen. I don't know exactly where this is going. It wasn't bad, but it's like, it just feels like it doesn't have any bearing or any point of reference. We're out there floating on the sea with no sail, with no rudder.
It's so disconnected from the DC universe for something that ostensibly could be considered an event title.
Yeah, I would assume that this is something that they want to be their next evergreen, their next Watchmen type title. And I'm not sure if it can do that, even though it reads well each one of the issues. I'm imagining together it will probably read better. But if it's not impactful, I don't know if it will be. I just don't know.
I don't know if they were expecting this to be the next Watchmen or the next Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, Crisis on Infinite Earths would probably be more appropriate.
I don't know. Actually, I think it's a better sequel to Watchmen than it is to Crisis.
Yeah. Dr. Manhattan, he's kind of like a deity. Do you feel like that in the comic world?
Yeah, he had insane powers that were ill-defined and whatnot. And for the context of Watchmen, it worked perfectly. Here, a little less so.
Yeah, I mean, he gets to that point where he's just so out of reality and above any connection with, you know, losing the humanity, that he almost comes off as like, you know, uncaring and all powerful. And what's weird is they kind of set up Superman in here to be the antithesis to that, basically being just as all powerful and you can never get rid of him, almost like deifying him, but in all good, you know, purely good and right and truth and honor and all that. But wherever there's a new universe, there will always be a Superman.
Yeah, they're trying to make him be, you know, inevitable, I think would be the term.
Yeah, inevitable. Yeah, I was like, there's almost like a deification of Superman in here. I mean, with the whole, you know, into the nothingness and almost out of the Big Bang, you know, here you see him come.
Yeah, and I get he's the linchpin, and I think the way they've treated the character over the decades, he's totally earned that, that spot. But for something that was billed as a confrontation between the Watchmen characters and the DC characters, both metaphorically, philosophically, and literally, they, in my opinion, did not deliver on that.
No.
And this series, I mean, as issues, they were good. As a series, not so much. As an event, it really doesn't fit my definition of an event.
I would agree with you there. It's really weird that the confrontation was set up, and yet the confrontation almost seems like it never happened. It just was time jumping everywhere, and we don't know what's reality, what's not reality, what's happening, what's not happening. It's I mean, it was interesting. It was a good read. It was amazing art, but at the same time, it's definitely not one of my favorite comics.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I mean, the writing was good, the art was fantastic, but it doesn't fit an event in my mind because it didn't connect to anything else outside of it. And it's funny, I was reading other books this week that were connecting to the Doom Justice War thing over in Justice League. So it's like competing events going on, and this one losing out. And in terms of the impact on the overarching DC continuity, if such a thing even exists, and at this point I'm going to say it does not, the impact it had was more damaging than beneficial.
I would agree.
And it was incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, and I don't even have a lot of DC continuity, but this seemed like it seemed to not repair things, but open up more questions.
Tons of questions.
And so I was like, so with a person with, you know, decades of DC reading, you walk out of this being more confused than when you went in. That's not a win, in my opinion.
Well, no, because you start to think, well, if these characters are back and have always been around now in this universe, then how could this over there have happened?
Yeah, exactly.
And when you start kind of doing that, everything just kind of unravels. And yet, it may set it up for decent stories, but I don't know.
Are you expecting to see the Watchmen in much of the DCU going forward?
Not at all.
Me neither. I don't. I think we won't see them.
I didn't expect them to become residents of the DC universe.
Okay, I thought maybe they would be there and we'd see some interaction, some crossover a little bit. Maybe they have another series or something. But yeah, I see this thing. And now they're going to go back to their little pocket verse and we will never see them again.
I took it as those characters were going to intrude on the DC universe and multiverse, have their impact, and then be, you know, shunted away again. And that's not entirely what happened here, but they needed to have a pretty massive epilogue to kind of say, okay, here's what happens to these characters.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think to a degree, this was almost a rehabilitation arc for Dr. Manhattan, not that he needed one.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way I felt as well. It just ended so bizarrely. Even the epilogue they did have in here, it didn't really hit me. This seemed like more of a Superman story to me more than anything.
Yeah, and there were a couple of things that were teased throughout, like the whole Nathaniel Dusk stuff, the references to the Jonathan Lord character. And it's nice Easter eggs to some lesser known, you know, series they've done over the years, but it was as if it was going to have a bigger impact than it did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I enjoyed this issue. I like Geoff Johns' writing, but between this being so out of touch with the DC universe and of questionable impact, and by which I mean, I want to be clear on this, we may see no ramifications of this, which I doubt, or as soon as next week, we could start feeling them immediately.
And we don't know. We literally don't know.
No idea.
That's a little bit frustrating and interesting as we see what comes down the pipe here at Marvel or DC.
Yeah. At some point, I'll reread the entire series, maybe even do a back issue spotlight on it if you or somebody else is interested. I just don't know when I'm going to do that because I didn't come out of this particularly excited to go back and see if it all fit together.
Well, that's kind of how I felt. I felt like I read it and I was there. Maybe I'll pick up a collection of it because I don't want to even go dig through my issues because they're not sorted out. Maybe if I, you know, go through and sort things that I have sitting there in boxes and I get them all together, I'll read it again. But I'd almost have to pick up a trade at this point.
Yeah, I came out of this wondering if we left off in the same universe we started in.
And that I don't know. And I felt confused about. And how it ended just confused me a little bit more. I'm like, I hope this is not the reference to 5G and how we were talking about what may or may be not be happening with that.
Yeah, I don't know, and my faith in DC has really crumbled over the course of the year and the course of this series.
Yeah. And this was one of the books because when I read it, normally I don't read other people's reviews since I started doing this because I don't want to be biased or have their opinions affect me. But after I did my review, I went and I checked online, go to Comic Book Roundup and just check out the reviews. And there were very mixed things. There's people who loved it, people who absolutely hated it, and a lot of people in the middle are like, kind of like where we are, I guess.
Yeah, I would expect this is one that there are going to be people who absolutely love it and think it's the best thing on earth. There are going to be people that completely despise it. And this is one that I don't think it just polarizes. I think people are going to land all over the place on this, depending a lot on their background of the DC universe. Not to say everybody with a particular background will have the same feelings, but I
Yeah.
think what they know and like about the DC universe will color their feelings on this.
I would agree. Yeah. Your take and my take are probably different because of your background and my background.
Well, it's one of those things that having gone through Crisis, Zero Hour, Infinite Crisis, Final Crisis, Rebirth, New 52, Flashpoint, the number of times they've decided to retool their timeline and really kind of, I'm going to say mess it up for lack of a better term, is disappointing because, that continuity thing, I like that. I like the history. I like the sense that there are consequences and ramifications to a story for these characters. And for this to say, you know what, we're going to just keep doing this, get used to it. It kind of turned me off.
I can see that. Yep.
But
Yeah, so.
it was more of a turn off on the direction of DC than this issue in particular, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean because it was actually written very well.
Yeah.
And Geoff Johns is a great writer, but at the same time, I know exactly what you mean.
I do think there is now a ticking clock in terms of when certain ramifications that we see here are shown elsewhere, and like when we get a Justice Society series.
I'm interested to see when we what happens here, when it impacts it, and where it impacts it, because I haven't seen anything in the last round of solicits, but we haven't seen the online stuff for, or at least I haven't, the new previews that's coming out.
I have for January, but at this point I'm expecting February to see a JSA title.
Okay, so that's probably when it'll happen.
It may not, but they've set my expectations based on this.
Yeah, so they better make something happen.
Sure hope so. For this, I'm going to go with a B plus. Again, I think it was well written, well drawn. Is it one I recommend, though? Not so much, and I'm not saying avoid it. It's a good read, but don't go into it thinking it's going to have the same impact and connection to the mainstream DC universe that Crisis or Flashpoint or some of these others have had.
Yeah. With me, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you my score and then I'll put down my little blurbs, my notes. I gave it a B. I put hard to score, late. It felt kind of epic. Will it have lasting repercussions? Question mark. Evergreen? Question mark. The art was perfect. And where is it going? Question mark. That's literally what I wrote. And I'm like, it's true. I don't know where we're going. I don't know if it'll impact anything. I went with a B, but like you said, well written, beautiful book, very odd.
Yeah, I think if this were done as an Elseworlds title, it would have been a great read.
I agree.
But it wasn't.
No, this is a DCU proper, so now it's a different animal.
I just am frustrated with the direction at DC, and to me, it's not a question of if they need new leadership, it's a question of who and what that leadership should be and why.
I agree. It feels like it's about time. Marvel hit their real doldrums a few years back, and thank goodness they changed it. I think it's time for DC to shake it up.
Yeah, I think so too. But the problem is, after an issue like this, they needed to have done the shakeup 6 months ago for the new people to have had the chance to color what comes next.
Yeah, to prepare now, it's almost too late.
That's not too late, but it makes the next leadership harder because they're going to have gone, DC will have gone down this route for some duration, and either they do a slow course correction that takes time, or they do another universe shaking event, and it It's put them in a not so good position.
Yeah, and the universe shaking events, especially like the reboots, you gain a lot of people, but you also lose a lot of people during those.
Yeah.
Depending on which way they go.
Yeah. And when they don't stick to their guns on some of this stuff, that's where I think they get into trouble. And this, to me, was yet another reversal of fortune for certain characters and whatnot. Whether I'm for or against the reversal of fortune doesn't matter. It's the inconsistency of the vision of the grand DC universe that bothers me.
Yeah, almost like you're being jostled on a ride at an amusement park.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jostled this way, now you're being jostled this way, back and forth.
Comes a point of just pick a direction and go with it, guys.
Exactly.
Shall we move on to our Marvel book?
Sounds good.
This is Guardians of the Galaxy number 12. And this is the end of a story arc and the end of this volume.
Yes.
And I think it was a decent ending to the story arc and the volume.
I would agree.
Of course, the series is just going to be replaced by a new volume, I think, as soon as, like, next month.
Yeah, next month it comes out again.
Yeah, new creative team, new number one, go figure. I've enjoyed the series, but it's not something I feel the need to continue with, and this issue kind of underscored a lot of it. I thought it was a good read. I think Donny Cates did a great job on the writing. I think the art was good. I've seen better. There are a couple of places where it was a little kind of, you know, implied versus drawn.
I agree.
But it was one of those where this group has drifted so much from the take on the Guardians that I really loved back in the 90s. And that's not to say that a new take is a bad thing, but it's like, I'm wondering, why am I reading this?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean with that. And it's also drifted a lot from the movie characters, the MCU characters that people love.
It's drifted even from the kind of the canonical current take to include, you know, twice as many characters or whatnot, including some older Guardians.
Exactly. A lot of the roster was really expanded. I mean, you have an emaciated Rocket in here, which I, you know, it's been happening the whole 12 issues, which I didn't care for. But it was, like you said, it was a good read, but it seems so far that I don't know. But I feel like the next person that picks it up will probably try to take it back to more to what we know historically.
I think so, too, because a lot of the characters they brought in, you know, Quasar, Beta Ray Bill, Darkhawk, Major Victory version from one of the last Guardians or one of the more classic Guardians or whatever, they really didn't get a whole lot of screen time.
They really didn't. They did early on, and then they just kind of disappeared into the background here. I mean, you see them in the pictures, but you don't see them talking very much. You just see them kind of interacting here and there. I mean, there's a few things with Beta Ray Bill and stuff, but overall, yeah, it seems like they're getting pushed out, even, you know, even the Cosmic Ghost Rider and everything, and it looks like it's going to be more the core team, especially with the ending of the book.
Well, yeah, I think this was something where they realized, hey, we've got a lot of cosmic characters. Let's go dump a number of them in here just to put them in use for a little bit. You know, see if there's a fan favorite or something that pops out or something. But yeah, I don't think most of these are ones that the next volume is either obligated or even encouraged to use.
I would agree. Yeah. So that's where I almost felt like the resetting was happening at the very end.
Yeah. And I felt this was another one where it was kind of written for the trade, but I'm reading it in the issues.
Yeah, me too. It was written exactly 12 issue, a trade type thing. Let's do this zany type over the top, bring out all the characters, change up everything, shake up everything, make it weird, have a big adventure. And then reset, you know, I'm now everyone's going to be okay. You see it on that last picture, everything's going to be okay. And here's the core, and let's go from there. Now, Groot's still, you know, talking, which still kind of weird to me.
Yeah, but I think that's one where the changes they made to that character in this volume and stuff of him talking, the different look with the spikes and stuff, the little twiglings or whatever you want to call them.
Yep.
That's one that, how long will that last?
Yeah, exactly. I'm ready for that to be reset already because that's kind of, I've had enough of it. I mean, the I Am Groot from the movies that everyone knows, if they picked up this comic, they'd be like, who's this guy with the mohawk and why is he talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why isn't he what we're familiar with from the movies? Exactly.
Yeah. So it's almost moved too far. So I'm looking forward to the resetting because although, like you said, Donny Cates, he wrote it well. It was a good story. I like stuff that happened. I enjoyed it. There was one thing I really did not enjoy in this book, which was the what's been going on with the double place page splashes.
I was just about to ask you about that, because when we got to that point of, hey, what's happened over the last year or whatever, and we get these two-page splashes, I mean, the art was okay. In some cases, yeah. It was definitely better than others.
Yeah, some were kind of bad, but some were good.
We got, what, four of them or something, so 8 pages, a full backup story's worth of pages were allocated to this. And what it really underscored for me was I haven't been reading everything at Marvel these days. I'm not even sure which stories they were necessarily referencing in some of these.
Yeah, it's referencing stuff that's been going on, stuff that you haven't been reading. But at the same time, yeah, it's like, here's all the stuff. But I looked at it as more, the offense to me was like, okay, this is an oversized issue and they're charging $4.99. But 8 pages of that, the oversized part of it, is not story. It's just a big art splash.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not fair to the reader who forks out the $4.99 for an oversized book, because now you've turned it from an oversized book to an overpriced book in my mind.
Well, and I think the various artists they had do those two-page splashes came at it from very different approaches, because there was the one that was kind of recapping what had happened in the Thanos series with Thanos Wins, the Cosmic Ghost Rider,
Ghost Rider, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But then by the time we get to the Silver Surfer one, it just seemed to be a splash page. If there's a story being told there, I don't know what it is.
Well, there was a Silver Surfer Black, and the art was very – it was this. And I didn't care for it because the art – I couldn't read it. The Silver Surfer Black, it kind of pulled me out of the reading. And I didn't enjoy the – but yeah, that happened, but it didn't really tie into anything Guardians related.
But if you look at the one with Thanos and Cosmic Ghost Rider, you see certain events, you see key moments and stuff going on.
There you don't see anything.
There, yeah, with the Silver Surfer one, you've got him flying through space, which he does. Okay, you've got Galactus. Yeah, he's associated with Galactus. You've got, I guess, Ego, although it doesn't look like the living planet. You've got somebody else, and it's just, okay, it doesn't tell me a story.
Yeah. One thing I also thought was funny, Lady Death, who's in that Cosmic Ghost Rider splash in the lower left, she seems like she has like the Image eye on her face.
Yeah, she
does.
That
made me laugh. I was like, somebody's a big fan of Image.
That splash I thought was a little too cartoony.
It was. That's the one I really didn't like. But I looked, you know, she's obviously there. And I'm like, man, someone just totally put that there. And the editor's just cool with it, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, those splash pages really didn't work for me. It just really underscored how much of the other stuff going on at Marvel I'm not reading and not missing.
Yeah. When I first got to the first splash page, I was like, oh, this is cool. Here's a nice recap page of what's been going on with Thanos and all this stuff. But then when I got to the second one, I was like, oh, the art went downhill. And then I'm like, okay, now here's the third one. Okay, here's the fourth one. I was like, at that point, I got frustrated with it. And that was my disappointment moment with the book. Because overall, the writing in the book was good. The art was decent. But those 8 pages really made me knock it down a score.
Yeah, for me, it isn't that I didn't enjoy the story. I mean, I did. It was fine. Yeah. It was decent and stuff. I just didn't enjoy it enough for the $4.99 cover price, nor did I find myself over the course of this volume really wondering what was going to happen next between issues.
Yeah, and I felt like this was a little bit of a weaker Guardians arc for myself, like the 12 issues with Donny Cates. And I'm not saying that because Donny Cates, he is a good writer. It's just the direction he pulled the characters. It's not really a great direction, I would say, you know, with bringing in all the other characters. So I think they're literally doing the hard reset here at the end, and they'll switch it up from here.
I think the mistake was calling this Guardians of the Galaxy versus treating it as if it were some kind of cosmic level crossover story.
Yeah, that would have been cool. If they changed up the title, it would have been completely different.
Because if they'd done this and we'd gotten a few, you know, miniseries with Guardians as flashback stories or something like that to bide the time, that might have worked better.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, I don't want to make people think I didn't like it. I enjoyed the story. It's just those 8 pages frustrated me a little bit.
Yeah. And for me, it was a decent read. I thought it was, you know, good for what it was, but it also, like I said, made me realize I don't need to pick up the new volume.
Yeah. Well, one of my highlights in here was probably seeing the interaction between the emaciated Rocket and Groot, where it's almost like the exoskeleton from the Aliens movie.
I thought that was cool. It was a little, you know, where did that come from? Why are they doing it? But it was a cool moment nonetheless.
Yeah, that was one of the parts I smiled.
So they had some fun stuff here. It's
very different than the Guardians, what you'd expect.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I noticed, and I'm trying to figure out where in the issue it happened, because we started with the different twiglings and stuff like that as far into it as when we get to the hospital scene.
Yep.
But then, you know, flip a page, they're gone.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if they reabsorbed back in. I don't know what happened.
They didn't show. They were out there on their own and then nowhere to be found. And that just seems like an odd thing. And it could just be an art thing for them to just kind of drop out.
Yeah, give me one less splash page and put those twiglings where they should be.
Yeah, if they'd just been there on the last page or something, it's like, okay, that's cool.
That could have been funny, yeah.
And it could have been a good setup for future story type stuff, too.
Exactly. Yeah, hopefully, I don't know if we'll see him again. Who knows? We have no idea.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a B- on this. I think, again, Donny Cates is a good writer. I thought this was a decent read. It's just the story hasn't been so compelling that I'm feeling, wow, I'm going to miss this title when it's gone, or that I should pick up the replacement title that comes out, you know, probably in a few weeks.
Yeah, I gave it a B- as well. We're right there together. And I did pre-order the next one. I can't remember who the writer is. I just honestly just can't remember. It slipped my mind.
But Al Ewing.
Okay. So yeah, he's been killing it for me because he wrote Valkyrie. He's been writing Immortal Hulk. So if he writes this anything like he's been writing those two books, I'm going to be very happy.
Yeah, and it may be a great read. I mean, the cover they show and stuff at the end, I mean, it looks good, but...
But based on this, it's tough.
It's not something I feel I just need to keep reading. And I'm trying to be a little more selective on my reading going forward.
That makes sense. That makes sense. For me, well, we'll discuss that more when we talk about some Marvel stuff in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall we move on to our other book?
Yeah.
This is The Visitor number 1 from Valiant. I didn't pre-order this, but I was curious given Paul Levitz was writing it. So we read the press PDF of this.
We did.
And I have, this is one of those where I really liked what we got.
Yeah.
And I really didn't like what we didn't get.
It opened up so well and then it kind of fizzled as it went.
It was one of those where a lot happens in this issue. It starts with some action. We get some characters. We get to see what's going on and whatnot. I think Paul Levitz did a great job writing. I think J.M. Kim, who I'm not familiar with, did some solid art.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely decent. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I liked what we were getting, but throughout all of this, there's this Japanese contingent that is doing something.
Yeah.
And it all centers around what they're doing, their project, somebody's trying to stop it, whatever. I have no idea what the project they're working on is. I have no idea who's opposing it or why. I don't know if the attackers are really targeting it or something else is going on.
Who's the good guys? Who's the bad guys? We don't know.
Oh, maybe even, who's the visitor?
Yeah, who's the visitor?
I mean, presumably he's the guy we saw at the server farm in those couple of panels and in the subway system.
Yeah, walking the tracks.
The only time we see him kind of really doing anything is when he's zipping down the tram line or something. He never speaks. He never does anything. We have no idea what his agenda is. Maybe he's trying to stop all of this and failing. I don't know. The bottom line is I lack enough context to put even specific questions around what might be happening next together.
Yeah. The only thing that makes me think that the visitor may be a relatively good guy is he saves a rat in the subway. That's the only thing we know about him. I don't know if he has a power. I don't know if he has an electrical power, if he's wearing rubber boots to not be electrocuted. So I think he's good because of what I've seen, but I don't really know.
We have no characterization for him whatsoever.
None. Zero.
We don't have much more for this Japanese contingent.
Yep. None.
Is what they're trying to do good for the world, bad for the world? Don't know. I mean, that would throw context as to who's the good guys, who's the bad guys.
Yeah, that would help.
I was a little confused why the things in this issue happened.
Me too. And what was weird is, like, I was reading, it's like, okay, this is cool. You know, boom, action scene at the beginning. It was very reminiscent of, like, 9-1-1, 9-11. So, okay, boom, there we go there. Then we see another almost terrorist attack happening. We see a culprit. We don't know why. We don't know what. Nothing was explained. So we're going into this and we just don't know. And with the PDF, with the press PDF, they gave us a 33-page PDF. But the story was over by the 22nd page, and then it's just a preview of another comic. And I was just like, I don't know anything about this guy. He literally hasn't said a word. I don't know if I'm supposed to like him, supposed to hate him. Is he causing the harm? Is he saving us from something? No clue.
Yeah, we get more time spent with even just a couple of the beat cops who happen to be on various scenes than we get with the visitor.
Yep.
We get a bit with the security person, I guess, for the Japanese contingent.
Yeah.
But other than, you know, the Americans aren't going to like what we're doing sort of comments, we get nothing for what they're doing and why.
Yeah. So because nothing was explained, okay, there was some action that happened, but at the very, you know, as it kind of dragged on and I'm just watching these people, you know, the contingent talking and not really telling us anything, just kind of communicating and, hey, let's get to this point. There's no escape, you know, stuff like this. I started to get bored with some of what was happening.
It's like watching just the action sequence from a summer blockbuster, not having any of the plot to put it into context.
Yeah. Okay. That was cool. And then some people talking about nonsense, almost stuff that's not progressing the story at all or giving us any context for the story. And so at that point, I start to withdraw from the story. And now you bored me.
Yeah. I mean, what we got was good.
There yeah, was just it's weird.
A lack of context to make it meaningful.
Yeah, it's almost like because there was no characterization for the visitor, it's almost like I didn't care about the visitor at that point. It's at least right now, I don't.
It's certainly unclear why it's titled Visitor.
Yeah. Visiting from another planet, from another country, no clue.
You know, it's
does he have powers? We don't know. He may. He may have electrical powers. We just don't know.
Yeah. We've got nothing sufficient to go on. And for me to get interested in the title character, I need to see the title character, I don't know, do something, maybe speak, maybe, you know, understand where he's coming on the issue, even if he doesn't speak. We got none of that here.
Yeah, I think literally with this last page, or if they had a 23rd page, if they would have had him say something meaningful with a cliffhanger type thing there, you know, he's cliffhanger trying to stop something or trying to create something, that might have been the hook that might make me want to read the next issue. But right maybe. Now, all he's doing is watching people sailing there.
If we had gotten another page where he had turned around and we got some sort of a reveal that was meaningful.
Yeah, you're like, wow, oh, I didn't see that.
You know, or cut to he's back at his inner sanctum and you know, we're seeing, oh, he's got these things set up next, or this is why he did this, or something.
Yeah, for all I know, he could be an alien. If he went to the mothership and he was like beaming up, hey, you know, I tried to stop them. You know, it was ineffectual. We're going to have to move to blah, blah, blah. You know, here's the plot of the aliens. I don't know if he's an alien. I have no clue.
For all we know, he's a rat. And that's why he saved the rat in the subway system.
Yeah, he's a rat person.
He's Splinter.
We just don't know. We can't even see a face. Nothing.
I mean, based on what we got, the Japanese contingent is the focal group of characters. And we got no idea what they're working on or why or what.
Or if they're good or bad.
Yeah, it was good, but frustrating.
Yeah, which is hard to – it's so hard to – without people having read this, to realize that, yeah, it's a good read. There's some action that went in here. Well, not a good read, but it was written decently. Yet it was a complete fail as far as like giving you information to make you want to read more.
It was a good chapter. It was a bad story.
Yes, that's a way of saying it.
And having read the press PDF of this, it actually puts it in a better position for me than if I had bought this and sampled it. If I'd spent the $3.99 on it and I'm like, well, you didn't give me enough to get hooked, you had your chance.
I'm out.
As it is, I may try to pick up the press PDF for the second issue and give it another shot. But I may not. I don't know.
If you do pick it up, email it to me. I'm just curious.
Yeah, because this Paul Levitz is a good writer. I think J.M. Kim did a good job on the – or M.J. Kim did a good job on the art here, but it so failed to hook me.
Yeah, that's exactly where I am. So we're it's like it started off with such a bang. Boom, you know, here's the action sequence. boom, here's more action. Okay, this is cool. No plot. Well, no characterization.
There was plot. There was a lot happening in this issue.
A lot happening, yeah.
But while we've got all the dots, we don't have any way to connect them into a meaningful pattern.
Yep, exactly. Which is so frustrating.
And yeah, I was hoping to be thinking, wow, this is what I miss out of Paul Levitz's writing, because I've read a lot of his stuff over the years. It's great stuff. This is good. He just didn't get enough of it into this issue, and there wasn't even enough context clues in the solicit to make me be able to piece anything else together.
Yeah, I mean, I was still waiting, because like we see that scene with the cable car. Mm-hmm. And you're watching the cable car go down, and I flip the page. I'm like, okay, there you see the guy sliding down the wire. And then, boom, end scene. We don't know if those people died. We don't know what happened. No clue.
Yeah. So
he's just gone, and then next thing you know, just standing on the shore. I was like, okay, that's it.
Yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions in this just throughout.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of sums it up, you know? It's all the buildup. You're like, wow, something's going to happen. We're not going to tell you.
If I had to do a one-word review of this comic, I think the word would be questionable.
Yeah, that would be the perfect one. Questionable.
Everything about it is questionable, but it's not bad.
And it could go 100 different ways, and none of them would be wrong, but we just don't know which one it is.
It could be that I read, you know, if I get that press PDF, I read the second issue, it gives me enough to think, wow, okay, now they've really gotten going. They just needed more pages. I get it. I like it. And let's go. Or it's, yep, more the same, or it goes in a bad direction. It failed as a first issue to tell me enough about the title to know if I should be reading it or not.
Yeah, if this character doesn't get fleshed out, and I'm just saying we have no idea right now, by the second issue, and it starts going into the third with all these questions, at that point, it's written for the trade. Why are you selling it as single issues at that point?
Fleshed out. I'd settle if they introduce him.
Yeah, introduce him. Give me a name. Let him say something.
A face, maybe.
A face. Anything.
Do we even know if it's a he or a she?
Could be a girl for all we know. No clue.
Just, yeah.
All I know is it likes rats. It likes rats.
It at least doesn't hate rats. It was willing to save one. That's all
rats.
We know.
That's all we know. It apparently hates humans and likes rats.
I'm going to go with a B- on this. Again, what we got was good, but there was so much we didn't get that I felt we needed to, that I think they would have been better off with an oversized first issue on this.
I almost went with the B- and went with the C+, just because I felt frustrated after I read it, because I didn't know what was going on. But we're both very close. I mean, we're just a half grade away from each other. But I could see, I almost put it as a B-, C+. I went with the C+, and I'm like, the same thing that happened with the You Are Obsolete could happen with this book. When I read You Are Obsolete, which we reviewed the second issue, the first issue I was like, all right, this is weird. I don't enjoy it. The second issue is like, wow, this is good. I'm hooked. And yeah. So that could happen with this. That's why I'm like, yeah, let's check out that press PDF, and maybe that changes the way we view the series.
I'll try to keep an eye out for that. And I'm curious, but if you had paid for this first issue, would you have given it a second issue to win you over?
Unless I had pre-ordered the first two, it probably would have been dropped. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I think they missed the boat.
Yeah. And that's never a good feeling. You never want to give someone. I always used to like, who was the guy at Marvel? Shooter, I think it was him. Always write a comic like that issue is the reader's first issue. And almost nobody does that now.
Well,
and so
I would in the modern day expand that to write every issue as if it is somebody's first issue and it could be their last.
That I would think would be even better, because if they would have done an oversized issue or just done some things to maybe do some characterization or at least tell us why the Japanese, if they're good or bad or something, this could have been a really good read. Then we've been like, wow, this is cool. And it's just, there's not enough information.
Yeah, I don't think they were far from having a really good issue. And it could have just been another couple of pages to have a little, or even not even more pages, if they'd given us a little more context in a couple of scenes.
Exactly. That makes all the difference in the world.
You know, what they're doing is controversial. Okay, why?
Yeah. But you like Paul Levitz as a writer, though?
Yeah, he did some great stuff on Legion of Superheroes back in the day. Did some great stuff with the All-Star Squad or whatever it was in the 70s with the Earth 2 characters. Yeah, he's a solid writer.
Okay, this was the first thing I read by him, and I enjoyed it other than what I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways, but besides this, have you read anything good this week? Like really good?
Oh, really good. Harleen number 3. That was really good.
I have that in my stack. I have not read it yet.
Was just terrific. Stefan Zage just did an outstanding job on that all the way around. Legion of Superheroes 2 was good. Justice League 38 was good.
I read that.
Shazam 9 was good. That's one of those. I'm going to take a close look at the solicit for number 13 after they've finished the first story arc to determine if I want to stay with it or not. The long form storytelling with the delays doesn't work for me.
Me too. It really kills it for me. I did read Justice League. It was pretty decent. The one that I read, you know how I read my stuff in that alphabetical order. I've been so busy with like my office and, office Christmas parties and mm-hmm. this and that and family stuff with the holidays. I got up to the K's in my book, and thank goodness I read King Thor. You're not reading Thor, right?
Nope.
Okay, this was the last issue by Jason Aaron, which he started 7 years ago. Over 100 issues, I think he was writing in the back, but he really nailed it. He nailed it from the first issue, and he nailed it 7 years later. I was like, holy mackerel, that was a really, really good run. So I really enjoyed it.
Cool, that's good to hear.
Yeah, so that was probably one of my favorite. But I haven't read Harleen yet, and that one I really enjoyed too.
Yeah, there was some good stuff. There was a few other things that were disappointing. Probably what I was the most disappointed in was Agents of Atlas number 5.
Yeah, I read that too.
That one, I actually, when I was like, well, what ranking do I give this kind of a thing? I marked it down a bit based on how that issue, what happened at the end of the issue. And yeah. Note what I'm saying, what happened at the end of the issue versus how the story concluded.
Yeah.
Because it did not.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh, this is going to continue over in, what is it, Atlantis Attacks number 1 or something. It's like, well, I don't know, maybe if I'd realized that, I might have pre-ordered that.
It was a setup for Atlantis Attacks with us, none of us knowing.
And to me, even if I knew, I don't know that I would have pre-ordered it. I still would have been annoyed that it's like I got into 5 issues of this thinking it was a self-contained story, and it's not.
Yeah. It's true. You know, that's one thing. I know we're going to be talking about some Marvel stuff later on. We're going to do another recording. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I've noticed about Marvel that they've moved to, and I'm really not enjoying, the 5-issue miniseries.
I'm okay with the 5-issue miniseries. I'm not okay with the bait and switch.
Yes, that too. The one thing I'm just not liking about the 5-issue miniseries is what I do, the pre-order. It's just, call me anal or whatever. I usually like to give things an arc. So I'll read an arc, because maybe it was a bad issue. I don't always give them an arc because if it's completely horrible, I'm out, after two or three. But when I pre-order through, like, Eric over at Cowabunga, I'm okay, order the first issue. I assume I'll enjoy it, so I order the second issue. And sometimes I order that third or not, depending on when the book comes in and when the orders are due. And so sometimes I'm on the hook for 3 issues, and then I find out I hate it. And that's the worst feeling in the world. You're like, okay, do I finish it out and have, complete the series? Or do I not finish it out and, be stuck with this partial? So it's just one of those things where I like to see things through. It's just a frustration of mine.
No, I totally understand that. I'm similar, and that's part of why I'm starting to really tighten the screws on what gets onto my list to begin with.
Yes. We need to talk about that soon, I think.
I think we will.
Yeah, because I think we'll have a lot of similar things, and I'm not completely fed up with stuff, but I'm fed up with mediocrity, and I want to really just spend my time reading good stuff. And what I mean by that is when I read the amount that I'm reading now, I have to read it when I'm sitting out by the TV with my wife. Mm-hmm. We're watching TV, and I'm multitasking, and I'm not absorbing the material all the way. It's not because I don't have enough time to just sit there and read these comics and then watch TV, so I'm like multitasking, and I get the worst of both.
I know what you're talking about. This is the first year where I've really had a much smaller reading list than I've had over the last decades. And it's definitely changed my thoughts on a number of things.
And are you happier?
I would say by and large, yeah. Certainly I don't feel like there's this constant grind to read through everything because I'm getting about a third of what I was getting.
Yeah.
Am I enjoying it 3 times as much? No. There's still a few things here where it's like, yeah, this was okay. A few things, yeah, it was not so okay.
Yeah, and you probably get that itch sometimes still. You're like, oh, maybe I should have read that.
Sometimes. But there are other times where I'm still getting the other side of it where it's like, I shouldn't have read that.
Yeah, very true. I know exactly what you mean. So, and that's where we, I think you and I talking about that, like what we really enjoy, maybe we can forge a path for ourselves and others. I think we could all, you know, get a little more clarity for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also why I keep pushing people to submit to the preview spotlight episodes is that's a great way for you to influence other people on what they should get and why. And sometimes I may be thinking, maybe this title, I don't know if I'm going to continue with it or not. So maybe at the next start of an arc, I drop it.
Yeah.
Or not, you know. But if somebody comes in at the start of an arc and says, you know what, this is a great time to be reading it because that might keep it on for another few issues for me or convince me to pick it up to begin with.
Yeah. I'm so surprised that like a small publisher, you could even say a Marvel, they hire interns at Marvel, you know, people who want to intern and do stuff. They pay them nothing. They go on their podcast and they pay them, you know, $0. They're just getting experience. But I mean, use an intern or if you're a comic publisher, especially like a small one, like a Blaze, you're just starting up, man, here you are offering free, you know, public free information, a free platform to get out there and talk to thousands of people about why we should buy that comic, why you are there. Some people might not even know you're there. I'm just so surprised more comic publishers don't even take, or artists that are just independent, just go out there and just say, hey, I'll send it a clip. You know, I mean, it's real easy.
I'm somewhat astonished by that because I have gone to many of these publishers at San Diego and other conventions, pointed out I've got the preview spotlight. All you've got to do is send in an audio clip. It is open to publishers, your marketing people, whomever.
This an is intern.
This is a chance where the listeners are open to being told, hey, I should get this because.
Yeah.
Give them your pitch.
It's literally free advertising. And you tell them I have thousands of listeners. I'm assuming.
I tell them it's free opportunity and stuff. And I've been doing it. You know, at this point, we're closing in on 150 episodes of that monthly. So it's not like this is a fly-by-night kind of operation. But, you know, they just – I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I'm just amazed. So I'm going to try doing it. And other people who go to conventions should mention it to people too. See if we can get somebody to send in a clip. It'd be kind of fun. But for the listeners out there, the fans of the comic book page, I'd like to see every one of you guys send in at least one clip.
Yeah. The upcoming deadlines we've got, let's see, this is going to come out on the 30th of December, so you've got a day or two left to get your picks in for your input into the yearly comics spotlight. There's a forum thread for that. It's pretty easy to fill out. We've got a couple of people who've already done it. They're just square brackets as to, you know, favorite artist, just fill in between that. It's easy for me to pull it out. And you've got literally till the end of the year, which by the time you hear this is only about, I don't know, 40 some odd hours, 48 max.
Yep.
So not a lot of time, but you got time. After that, James and I will be recording the Decade in Review. I've still got to put my notes together as to what I thought was kind of the highlights over the last decade and stuff.
Me too.
But then previews, we thought was going to come out on December 25th. Looks like it's going to come out on January 1st. So we moved the deadline last week on that to January 11th. And this is for preview spotlight 147 for the January previews. Regular format, one clip per pick. Please send in some stuff if you can. Maybe you've got a little extra time over the holidays to record it and stuff. And again, you've got that extra week, so maybe that helps. Some of this information as to what's coming out is already available on the Previews World website. And then I've also put up the forum thread for the following preview spotlight for February, 148. That one, the deadline's going to be January 25th, so only 2 weeks after the one for the January previews. And we're going to be doing this one a little bit different than normal. For the February previews, since I need to get that done in advance, basically, one clip per person. What titles, new or old, should people check out and why? What do you think people ought to read?
That's going to be fun. I like those when people send in their like anywhere from 5 to 10 minute, sometimes 15 minute clips where they talk about stuff we should read.
Yeah, if you've got one title you're really passionate about, talk about that. If you've got 10 or something, give us a good pitch on each one of those. Tell us what we should be reading and why. Maybe it's, you know, people haven't read Watchmen, they should read that, or Walking Dead, or maybe it's a current title or an upcoming title. It's open. All I ask is you just send in one clip of however long you need to talk about what you want to do. If it's short, it's great. If it's a little longer, that's perfectly okay too. Name it with your name. And then for that one, you don't need to post on the thread what you're mentioning, but do let me know either on the thread, ideally on the thread or through an email or something, that you are sending in a clip. That way, hopefully I'll be able to check the thread and not skip anybody again, because I dropped the ball on that last time.
Yeah, I remember.
I feel really bad about that.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that this is a great chance, if you don't read previews and stuff, a good chance to get a clip in and just tell people what you feel they ought to read. Maybe it's a hidden gem today or one from 10, 20 years ago in trade or in single issues, whatever.
Yeah, and I'm going to put a message up on the Slack channel just to remind everyone again about the their picks for the year end, their best of the best.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get an email out to the list I've got for reminders on the preview stuff. And if you want to get added to that list, just drop me an email or message me on the forum or Slack, and I'll add you to the list.
Cool.
So anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That pretty much does it for me.
Cool. Join us next time as we discuss Incoming Number 1 from Marvel, Doctor Strange Surgeon Supreme Number 1 from Marvel, and Marked Number 3 from Image Comics.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.